Shalom leYudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Gimel B'Tamuz, Parashas Matos, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 28 July 2016, webcasting from the Judean hills. That Israel must never give up, shouldn't have to give up, because this land legally and morally belongs to the Jewish people. And this morning, we had another lesson in why we must never give it up. It was an interesting day today for this reason. J-Post reported on the hunting down and killing of the Arab murderer who murdered Rabbi Mickey Mark, Hashem Yikom Damo, who left behind, the rabbi did, a seriously injured wife and now 10 orphan children. And in a completely separate news story, reported on was a talk given yesterday at Bar-Ilan University by Bogi Yaalon, the former defense minister, in which he criticized those on the right from the right. He criticized those on the right who say we will accept a military presence in Judea and Samaria, but it doesn't have to be Israeli sovereignty all the way down in the Jordan Valley. Describing that policy, he said, is dangerous. This is criticism from the right. This is not hawkish enough for him. Because he said if Israel ever gives up freedom to operate in Judea and Samaria, the Palestinian Authority won't survive and the Jordanian kingdom will fall too. He then went on in his bitterness at having been sacked, and rightly so, I think, by Netanyahu, to accuse the prime minister and the government of corruption, but his foreign policy vis-à-vis the Arabs has not budged a millimeter since being fired, and it remains identical to Bibi's view, who only hides behind the smokescreen wanting a two-state solution, which he clearly does not. And for the same reasons as Bogi does not want a two-state solution. So it was an interesting coincidence, these two separate news stories, reading about Bogi's lecture on one page, and on the other page, the news of this Muslim barbarian that killed the rabbi, who was surrounded in his safe house and ordered to come out. He answered instead with gunfire. I think our guys traded a few shots with him, but then used an anti-missile, which they fired into the house. Nonetheless, he still kept firing, so, as the times before, they called on a D-9er, produced by Caterpillar, the armored bulldozer, which looks like it could survive a direct hit of anything short of an atomic bomb, that drives into a house in this situation and knocks the house down and mounts the fallen walls to ride over and crush the murderer underneath to death. I think the horrible murder of Rabbi Mickey was on the 1st of July, so it took 4 weeks for our police, Border Guard, IDF, GSS, and their informers to hunt this wild ass of a man down and destroy him like a wild jackass with rabies, or one who had eaten too much loco weed or something. And it could not have happened if the anti-Jew Jews here and anti-Jew Jews and Goyim abroad had their wish, and all Jews were driven from Judea and Samaria. Without the presence of these security agencies, that murderer would not have been found and terminated. In fact, that's how it was here in the 1950s. Then the Arabs called themselves Fedayin, and they routinely shot out of Judea and Samaria across the 1949 ceasefire line, which was no barrier, in order to murder Jews at random. There were times in the early 1950s when one could not drive from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem without an army escort. It got that bad. It got so bad Israel went to war in 1956 against Egypt because of the terrorist penetrations from Gaza and Sinai. This is when the murderers called themselves, as I say, Fedayin, meaning those who sacrifice themselves, and although I think because it shares the same verbal root with the Hebrew lifdot, podeh, it means to redeem. The Fedayin also redeemed Arab honor for the cosmic humiliation of having lost in 1948-49 to the miserable Jews over whom they had tyrannized for 14 centuries. And, of course, this was before these men were told, they were never told this before, that they were the ancient Palestinian people at home in their ancient homeland since the beginning of time. This was before they started calling themselves freedom fighters in a war of national liberation, just like the Americans who fought the tyrannical English in the Revolutionary War. With the invention of the Palestinians, no more Fedayeen, no more religious imagery. Following the FLN in Algeria, they recast their war against Jewish freedom in non-religious terms, more pleasing to the brains of the post-religious intellectuals in the West. No more Fedayeen, now they were freedom fighters. And so it was reassuring this morning to read of Bogi Yalom's fidelity to his own long-held sober views of the Arabs. And this item on the raid on Tuesday night in the Arab settlement of Tzurif in Judea, when our crack anti-terror units closed in on this wild animal in human form and destroyed him. If Israel were to abandon Judea and Samaria, Hamas would take over and the whole business would become another Gaza Strip. Thus, for years, yours truly has had no fears of being abandoned by the government, unlike so many of my friends in the settlements. They think Bibi will abandon us, he will betray us and hand Judea and Samaria and all of its Jews over to the Hamites. He will not do this, and not because he's in love with us, because it's not in the interest of people in Tel Aviv. People may not like us, but they're not stupid, they're not suicidal. They know they can't give up this land. There's no sober person in Israel who thinks we can give up the high ground. Here is Bogi Yalom, the last of the idealistic kibbutzniks, expounding on this idea. Israel simply cannot abandon the hills of Judea and Samaria to the Arabs so long as they remain Arabs and Muslims, which they will remain for the indefinite future. And as Arabs and as Muslims, they simply would not be satisfied, even if given all of a Jew for a Judea and Samaria. That's just returning to the situation pre-67. As Arabs, they would continue to covet the remaining wealth of the Jews, and as Muslims, they cannot in good conscience sign off on a free Jewish state within any lines. This is what the Oslo ignoramuses did not see and not understand. Oslo was predicated on the belief that if Israel hands over Yesha, Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, that would be the end of the conflict. Hand Yesha back, and the Arabs will begin smiling from ear to ear. Their hands will be extended in warm friendship. There will be brotherly embrace between Jew and ancient Palestinian, and the two peoples will live happily ever after as good neighbors. And never mind, a plain reading of Arab propaganda throughout the decades made clear their desire to destroy all of Israel, as it was before 67. In a funny way, the whole issue of the settlements is more camouflage. It covers up the truth that, in a funny way, the settlements have nothing to do with the hostility. Fact, these people were hostile to us before 67. The settlements did not exist, and to speak of them today is a distraction. As the Prime Minister rightly said this week, Israel recognizes the right of a state to the ancient Palestinians, but the Palestinians do not recognize the right of a state for Jews. That's the problem, he said. It's not the settlements, and he's right. It's not Judea and Samaria. The hunting down of that murderer and killing him also revealed another facet of Israel that should change. It turns out that this guy, this murderer, was one of the ones released for Gilad Shalit. But don't expect an intrepid, politically correct journalist here to interview Shalit's father and ask him how he feels now after hearing this information. In all honesty, like these IDF operations that I rarely read in detail because they're so similar, one or more of this guy's collaborators who were arrested before the final attack had also been freed in that mass release. This is exactly what people said would happen. And it has happened. Actually, I think it's happened hundreds of times. I think the Almagor NGO, the Victims of Terror Organization in Israel, have the exact numbers, and I think that it's around 200 Jews have been murdered by terrorists who before had been in Israeli custody, prisons, and then let go. It's a crime to murder anybody. It's a crime for the government of Israel to free such men who then go on to murder. Israel has to return to an earlier policy of expulsion. Israel must proudly announce to the world that this is the promised land, the land of the Jewish people, and we decide who lives here and who must go. In the future, we have to expel immediately the relatives of murderers after an attack. We should expel even more. The terrorists in our prisons today, there are thousands of them. We should take them all up to the Golan Heights and push them through the fence and deposit them in Syria. Syria no longer exists. No one would stop this action. Overall, though, I'm pretty optimistic. This week, Abbas said he wants to sue England for the Balfour Declaration, which the Prime Minister said this week is proof of what he himself is saying. They're still at war with Balfour, and that declared the rightness of Jews having their own homeland, in their own ancient homeland, and they're at war with this. And it's more evidence of the brainless stupidity and ignorance of the Oslo Dreamers, who I contend were motivated most of all by their desire to destroy the resurrection of Jewish life in Judea. What did these atheists care about the heart of Jewish history when Judaism is just another example of religion, you know, the opiate of the masses?
Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem Ose shamayim va'aretz Al yiten lamot raglecha Al yanum shomrecha הנה לא ינום,
ינום
ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך, השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם שיר למעלות אשא עיניי אל הערים מאין יבוא עזרי עזרי מאימה השם עושה שמיים וארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך אל ינום שומריך הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם.
And that was Psalm 121. Yeah, Israel simply cannot give up Judea and Samaria and survive. The belief in the two-state solution is belief in the creation of yet another nation-state for the Arabs, after Syria, after Iraq, after Yemen, after Libya, after all of these have come apart. massacres and counter-massacres. Were Israel to abandon Judea and Samaria, the same chaos we see in Gaza would engulf these hills. The fantasy of the two-state solution is that Israel and the 500,000 Jews skedaddle out of here, and the Arabs take over and create a nice, cute little garden apartment of a state next door to Israel and become our friendly neighbors. A quiet, peaceful, well-run boutique of a state, even smaller than Israel. A place of happy citizens, no longer violent, no longer telling fairy tales about the unreality of the Holocaust, no longer preaching that the coastal plain from Jaffa down through Ashkelon to Gaza is all theirs. Israel has to, for its own sake, its own peace of mind, adopt a healthy self-love and accept that our Muslim neighbors are not very nice. And the more we ignore them, the better. Israelis have to stop trying to make peace and to be loved by them. We have only one obligation, and that's to defend ourselves from them. We heard of a case today of a Jewish community's swimming pool in the Galilee whose administration is barring Arabs from using it. Is this evidence of Israeli racism? No. This is evidence of Israelis keeping up with the news and knowing that the situation in Germany for females has become unpleasant, to say the least. This community does not want young Arab teenagers, males, hanging out in the same pool with young Jewish girls because of their behavior. It's their behavior, not their race, whatever that is. Their appearance is absolutely irrelevant. We have more dark people than they do. Skin color has nothing to do with barring these Arab boys from these facilities that were built by, of, and for Jewish people. I think Israelis are growing up in this regard as well. That's how I would describe Bogi Yalom's worldview. Realistic and not twisted by political correctness with its nonsense that the social collectives preach that he has made his life in. Consider life in our neighbors' countries. Syria, where it's number one commercial city, Aleppo, today looks like Berlin circa 1945, block after block of rubble and ruined, shattered buildings. Look at life in Iraq and Yemen and now Turkey, which for a generation and a half was a de facto ally of Israel. There were commercial ties which still exist, but no longer are there military sales from us to them, and Israeli pilots no longer train in Turkish airspace. And what the current Sultan in Istanbul has done since the so-called failed putsch is to strive to finish off any resemblance of the age of Ataturk. The Turks under him are reverting to their pre-Ataturk culture of corruption and cruelty. In the age of the Ottoman Empire, every one of Turkey's neighboring peoples had a folk expression such as cruel as a Turk, stupid as a Turk. What they did to the Armenians in 1915 was as evil on an individual human basis, if not the collective, as the Holocaust. The horrors they inflicted on the Armenians were no less monstrous. And now, not surprisingly, more reports are coming out of how Erdogan has not only rounded up, I think, tens of thousands of people as suspected enemies of his rule, the reports are coming out of the cruelty of Erdogan's loyalists, who not only arrest suspected enemies, but beat them and whip them and torture them and rape them. In the eyes of the regime's loyalists, these people are traitors and deserve what they get. And no one should be surprised at reports of imprisoned soldiers and teachers and journalists being the men raped by their jailers. We saw that in the Hollywood movie Midnight Express in the 1970s. People have no idea how common this behavior is in Islam. It's common among the males, denied all contact with females, the boys, and it's a form of domination and humiliation in other situations like these, like this one. There's a moment as well in that film about called Veronica Guerin, the true story of an Irish journalist, played by Cate Blanchett, who's out to expose a major drug dealer, who threatens that if she does not back off, he will kidnap her 10-year-old boy and ride him. Do this to him big time. The Clarion Project this week reported on this torture, the starvation, the beating, the rape of those arrested in Turkey, which during what many people now believe has been a phony putsch. It failed because it was meant to fail. The whole thing was a setup to allow Erdogan to cripple all opposition to his dreams of returning Turkey to being a superpower, a caliphate, enforcing Sharia law. He's a big fan of Hamas, this character. These arrests countrywide have been massive, but we have yet to hear a word about this from his erstwhile advisee, Barack Hussein Obama. No, I did not watch his speech last night at the Democratic Convention. I did not have the stomach for that. Last webcast, I said, it's a world gone mad. And that's what I see in Obama, in his wife, in Hillary, all these people giving speeches and popping off about this issue or that when they don't believe a word they're saying. All of them tell the audience what the audience wants to hear. Last night, Obama said Hillary was the most qualified ever to run for the office of president. Do words have any meaning to this man? His own wife, in her speech, said America was the greatest country in the world, the same woman who, before she moved into the White House, said she never felt proud to be an American. As her husband recently said, America had to accept a tidal wave of Muslims from Syria because that's who we are, an exceptional people. This from the same dissembler who 8 years ago said America was not exceptional. We live in evil times when evil people are being raised to the status of our leaders.
לעובדך באמת והנחילנו השם אלוקינו באהבה וברצון שבת קודשך וינוחו בם כל ישראל מקדשי שמך ותאר ליבנו לעובדך באמת והנחילנו השם אלוקינו באהבה וברצון שבת קודשך וינוחו בם כל ישראל מקדשי שמך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, so I did not watch the Democratic Convention last night and all of the speeches. It was late, but really, I couldn't take it. I saw only one-minute clip of the convention floor at a certain point in which the Hillaryites were chanting, Hillary, 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 with expressions on their faces, looking up at her image on a movie, on a screen, I think, with the expressions of adolescent girls ogling their favorite rock star at some rock concert. Some rock idol. And idolatry is the only word for it. I saw idolatry in their eyes. And I can't believe there are so many people in the States who still want to vote for this woman who have lost all critical faculties. Obama says Hillary is the most qualified candidate ever and gets a round of applause and there's cheering. Are these people thinking? It's idolatry, and I think the idol is this woman in a pantsuit, traditionally male apparel, in her speeches, always coming off abrasively and stridently, and I finally figure out why she's so unappealing in this mode. It's because she's trying to sound and act like a tough guy, like a tough man. In a way, she may be the most qualified candidate, if not of all time, then this moment in time, in this generation, when so many of her supporters think that Bruce Jenner has become a woman. There's a connection. I'm saying there's a connection between the careers of these two prominent Americans. And in both cases, they are figures of mixing of sexes, which has always been nothing more than a fantasy throughout history. There's no record of any person, a true hermaphrodite, who lived with both male and female reproductive organs and used them, alternately becoming a father of children and a mother of children this person gives birth to. Never happened. What comes to mind is the Greek myth of Tiresias, the blind prophet, who at one point is changed into a woman and 7 years later changed back into a man. And artists in history have painted him with female breasts, and playwrights and poets have written poems entitled The Breasts of Tiresias. Both Hillary and Bruce, and all the other so-called transgenders, have much in common. As I say, I could only watch like a minute of the convention, these starry-eyed conventioneers, swooning over the fact that for the first time ever, a woman has taken the job held by men. So Hillary's essential merit is not her performance in politics, not her leadership, in Men Under Fire. No, she has become the idol of those focused not on the brain inside her head or the quality of her heart. She has become an idol for those who focus lower down in her anatomy, below her head, below her heart. What's important, her most qualifying characteristics are her reproductive organs. As if that's where a human being thinks. It's more important than the heart, more important than the brain. It's a victory for human beings, you see, those with a womb, which, as far as I have heard, is not a place for thinking, for decision-making, pondering moral dilemmas and social policy, figuring out how to handle the enemy. These Hillary fanatics are focused on her groin. This is why they want to vote for her. This is why she's more qualified than any man in history. She has a womb. I think her candidacy is the culmination of the collapse of the culture that began in the 1960s with the invention of the sexually confused unisex barbershop. Remember that? It's the culmination of the glorification of men imitating normal sexuality with another man. And those now opposed to that behavior are diagnosed as having a mental disorder, an irrational fear, a phobia of what the gays do. Homosexuality is without a doubt the most dishonestly discussed issue in the public arena, bar none, for the simple reason it has never been discussed. I have never once in over 40 years in the media seen, heard, or read a discussion of the behaviors that the gays engage in. The discussion is only about love between people of the same sex, which is rubbish. Love between men, does it exist? You bet. I'll give you real love between men. Consider the IDF officer in 2006, Nicole E. Klein, who jumped on a live grenade, said Shema Yisrael, and gave his life for his men. That's real love between men. Entering gay bars for perverse sexual encounters has nothing to do with love. And how ironic that on the one hand we read about Turkish brutes violating fellow Turks. At the same time in the West, this behavior is beatified. Every time Hillary and the Democrats play the woman card, they're saying, pay no attention to her decision-making, her foreign policy judgments like bringing down Gaddafi and Mubarak, like abandoning men under fire in Benghazi and then lying about it, like disregarding email security protocols, like stuffing her pockets with cash from foreign countries where, when she was Secretary of State. Playing the woman card says, pay none of this any mind. Look at her anatomy. As she tries to act like a tough male, vote for her anatomy. Everyone knows this is the seat of intelligence and character. It's not in the brain. It's not in the heart. And pay no mind that she has used her womb only once because she wanted more in life. She wanted to imitate a powerful man more than to give birth and love and nurse and raise babies. It's been said that Hillary initially wanted no children, but was advised that it would not be advantageous to her political career, so she had one. That's who Chelsea is. This is feminism at its absolute worst. The liberation of the female defined as refraining from bearing children and instead aspiring to rule like a man.
Mekimi me'afardal me'ashpot yarim evyon lehoshivi im nedivim im nedivei amor מי כהשם אלוקינו המגביל השבת המשפילי לראות בשמיים ובארץ מקימי מהפרדל מהשפוט ירים אביון בואי להושיבי עם נדיבים עם נדיבי אבון תני נאי 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 מי כהשם אלוקינו המגביל השבת המשפילי לראות הוי בשמיים ובארץ הוי מקימי מהפרדל מהשפוט ירים אביון הוי להושיע
Okay, that's it for this evening and this week, the first of the 3 weeks. Be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.